something. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, we up to something.
Yo, there comes a time when you just gotta, you know, really gotta flex your, stretch your stuff, talk your mess, and really just be like, you know, we on our grind. We kind of doing this thing in the business. We on our shit. And I really don't curse on this show much, but today we are on our shit.
YouTube.
Episode 4-5, exclusively on YouTube, Swerve City Podcast. My man's is back because he missed the last episode. Shame on him.
I have one sick day in 3 years.
One sick day. He called out work. In 45 episodes, we introducing one of our co-hosts, the homie, AJ Francis over here.
What's happening?
Got Tommy a new City, show on A&E.
Yes, sir.
Yep. A&E, you know what I'm saying? 10 p.m. on Sundays. WWE's Most Wanted Treasures. Me traveling around with the legends, doing the damn thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of fun. And the coolest part is I was flying first class the whole time.
Oh, once again, sometimes you got to strut your stuff and really show your chest a little bit.
Yeah. Leverage.
I'm going to do mine because we got the legend, songwriter, R&B singer, platinum.
I have so many draws from this man.
Yo. There's a good chance I am here on earth because of this man's music.
You know,
I grew up listening to this man. It's groomed us, all of us in here, made us who we are today. Seriously, the sultry sounds, the genius mind, and R&B sounds of Mr. Donnell Jones. Everybody, man. We got clap. We don't clap.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
We got to clap right now.
Many people sat in that chair and we ain't clap.
We didn't clap.
So we got to clap.
I've had WWE champions sit in this chair and I didn't clap.
Man,
sorry,
I appreciate
Drew
that.
McIntyre. I'm sorry.
For real. I appreciate that.
Dog, man, this is like a dream come true.
Thank
My
you.
Mama, she's going to make me get some like video shout outs from you later, so I'm sorry. I'm apologizing in advance. She's going
it's
to request
good.
It. I'm
good.
Pretty sure others in here. But, man, this man can't even stand up straight. Siren over here like, oh, done it.
That's what's up, man. Okay. Appreciate being here, man. Thanks for having me, man, for real.
Bless,
Caleb. Seriously, blessed. Thank you for
answering your damn DM, bro. Thank
I
you,
look at
sir.
Him, man. You know what I'm saying? I try to answer everybody. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, good thing y'all hooked up with my man Jamal, man. We made this thing happen. So,
shout out Yard Out, man. Seriously.
Yeah, Yard Out.
Appreciate it. Y'all
appreciate
are amazing.
You, King. Thank you, man.
What a guy.
Smooth, man. I you know what? Yeah. You talk about flexing, right?
Oh, I'm going to give you some room.
I need some room for this one.
Uh-oh.
People be talking about they fans. I'm your biggest fan, though. I got everything. I got the catalog, bro.
Okay. You come with it. Okay.
I took this from the library. It's forever. I took this from the library. It's forever right here. Let's keep it going.
Okay.
Donnell Jones, life goes on. If you ain't get that, make sure you go get
okay.
that. Yes,
okay.
All senior platform.
Okay.
That's right there. My Heart. My favorite album from right here. The first one, All About You on that joint. That's my jam right there.
Yeah.
No, I'm cool in the gang sample. I know what I'm talking about.
Hey, let me know.
Right there. You know what I mean? The best of Donnell Jones. I got that too. I had to get the best of. I know this song by heart, but I had to get that too. You know? I'm saying this for everybody who don't know the game. You youngers, make sure you get on this now.
This is called a CD.
Now, this is lyrics right here. Donnell Jones lyrics. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you cop the all streaming platforms. You feel
me? Yeah.
You got that right there. You know what I mean? Journey of a Gemini. I got that too.
Yeah.
I got that too.
Okay.
You feel me? Got that too.
I see you, kid.
And then you know what? Everybody always talk about the Way I Want to Be project, and that's a classic.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? We got the classic.
You got them all,
that's
man.
A classic.
I'm on my way to getting the Lost Files. Couldn't find it, B. But I'm on my way. It's sold out,
I appreciate
bro.
You, man.
No love, all love.
Appreciate
I'm waiting
you,
on getting the Lost Files.
Tommy, the CD man on the corner, he got it. I'm very sure it's in there.
I got these Jones been at the crib. These Jones been at the crib so long. I've been DMing trying to get my dog.
Man,
there.
That's
it's
love.
It's Donnell Jones in this motherfucker.
That's love, man.
Yes, sir.
Yo, so much love, man. Oh, do we even promote our music? We got these right here. Keep moving.
I'm gonna just say first class EP on the way.
and then we can go. So where do we even start? Matter of fact, you the musicians. You started off. You kicked this one off, brother.
First of all, man, let's get into what's current because we're gonna stay into what's current, man.
Yes.
100% free the album, man.
Yeah.
Classic, another classic you just dropped, man.
Appreciate it.
Listen to it. Obviously, the first day it came, but I was on it. You know what I'm saying? We talking about classic production, my brother. 100% free for the people, man. And tell me a little bit about this project and how to start going for you.
Well, actually, you know, when the pandemic first hit, man, I had got a strong idea. I was actually working on another album, and I had got a strong idea to make an album, make a free album. A lot of people had lost their jobs. A lot of people lost a lot of family members. So you know what? I had got an idea to make a free album and make it about love. It's a concept album based on love, and it's about promoting love. So what I wanted to do was kind of do a lot of different genres of music, only 7 songs, but make it different music so I can reach as many people as I could. It's not the typical Donnell Jones album, but it's an album that promotes love, and that's what I was trying to do.
And love is 100% free.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. What do you know? Yep. Amen. So talk about the Carmen music video, man. RL was in there. Jacquees was in there. Carl Thomas. You know what I'm saying? I'll be watching, bro.
Heavy hitters.
I called my brothers up, man. They came out to support me, man. But it was amazing, man, that they did. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, man, we don't do that in R&B. So what we're trying to do now is just, you know, just create something that will be showing camaraderie with each other and just support each other, invest in each other's careers.
Amen. So so speaking of that though, like, you know, even years ago when you first started, or even at the time when you first started, what makes you think the R&B artists don't come together? Is it a competition thing, ego thing? What do you think that is?
Yeah, for the most part, it's always been competition. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see you do something, I got to do it better.
Yeah.
But now, you know, now that we're older, grown men, you know what I'm saying? We see life a different way. And we wanted to show the younger generation, man, how to really do it, you know?
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, listening to those are people you can just call on. Like, how does that feel? That's your camaraderie. Those are your brothers right there.
Yeah.
And arms. You can just call on an RL. You can call on a Carl Thomas. Y'all came up together pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, how does
it
that
feels
feel?
Good, man. It feels good to be able to reach back, you know what I'm saying, and call your brother and be like, yo, man, you got a record for me? Yeah, I got a record for you. Come be in my video. So, I mean, it shows that, you know, out of all the stuff we've been through in our careers, we still have love for each other. It's a brotherhood, and we're showing it through music and through, you know, just coming together.
They had a nice cut on, man. Tell me a little bit about that video as well, man.
Oh, the video, man. I hadn't did a video in Chicago, never really. So it was my first time. No, I hadn't did a video in Chicago. So you know what? It's my record company. It's my first time really doing an album on my own. So I said, you know what? I'm taking it back home. So I got my director, G Visuals. And he came up with the concept. I called the guys up. They came to support me. Called my stylist up, middleman. Yeah. He put the clothes together. And we just made it an event. And it felt really good. It felt like a moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was really having a moment for R&B. And it felt really good. So I loved it, man. The whole thing, the whole concept about the album, the whole, just the energy of it felt really good.
I mean, you mentioned that, you know, that R&B artists hadn't really come together like that before. Do you think that's because the genre itself is basically about, like, how you are perfect for this girl and nobody else is? Or, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I can't talk about it. Donnell calling at the girl.
You know what I'm saying? Is that a byproduct of the genre? What do you think?
Nah, I think we just all had our own swag. And, you know, everybody wants to be the king of the hill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to be on top, you know? And it's only one number one spot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, every week, when somebody came out with a record, I might have the number one record. Carl might have had it for 2 weeks. I might have it for 3 weeks. The next might have it for 2 or 3 weeks. RL, Usher might have it for a month.
Genuine.
Like, I mean, so it was just fighting for that number one spot. And I think a lot of that made us, you know, in competition with each other.
I feel that.
And, you know, now that we're older, it's like we can get so much more by coming together.
Amen.
Than we can by being apart.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And it shows camaraderie with the younger generation too, because it lets them know that, you know what, even though it was that way, this is how it could be. So that's why I also brought the young brother Jacquees in, because I felt like, you know, it's important to show the younger generation that that we love y'all too. It ain't no us against, because, you know, a lot of people try to say, well, what do you feel about the younger generation? How did they music and all that? Mm-hmm. I never talk about them. Because I feel like, you know, we all have our time. You know what I'm saying? It's all about time. I'm a little bit older now. I'm not thinking the same way I did when I was 25.
Exactly.
You got to think of it like this, though, because I thoroughly understand where you're coming from. Because when you're coming into the game and you're coming in to make, you have certain accomplishments, everyone, this is why it's hard for groups sometimes to last, especially during their peak, right, is because everybody has individual goals that they're trying to obtain. And a lot of times it becomes hard, especially your R&B. You got all, you know, you got John B. You have all these people trying to get these platinum success. Everybody wants to sell platinum, you know, especially at that time. Everybody was trying to get it. So, nice. So you could just think, you'd be like, well, hey, if you sell platinum, hey, man, I might have to break from the group and sell platinum my dance.
Right,
you
right.
know what I'm saying? So right. the, now that you're right. a little older, you can sit back and you'd be like, you know, all of us has got our accomplishments.
Right.
We now in a good space where, you know, right. you know, all right, bro, I like that beat.
Right, 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 right. I hate no more. Right, 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 right. But it's real, though. It's real. Yeah. It's real. You know, you got to really... when you respect yourself and you learn a little bit more about the business and who you are as a person, you see things differently. Amen. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, we was having dinner earlier tonight and we was talking about like, man, like, for one, we talked about the amount of artists and like the factory that the Midwest has popped out.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like Midwest is... you was popping out some ideas, like yeah. some names.
Yeah.
Like, let's name a few. Like, help me out here.
Okay. So you got myself. I mean, it, people Stevie don't want to say his name. Stevie Wonder. You got R. Kelly. You got the whole Motown sound.
Mm-hmm.
You have Gambling. Well, no,
he
not Gambling.
Michael.
Jeremiah.
You mm-hmm. also have Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. Prince. The Time. All, I mean, it's so many people that... The Midwest is popping.
You could have stopped that Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, Prince.
Yeah, the Midwest. Facts, the whole bro. Jacksons, though. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As far as the music business is concerned, like, the Midwest is really popping. A lot of... You know what? I think the reason why is because, you know, you got the East Coast, you got the West Coast, and people... smack dab in the middle, get it from both sides. So mm-hmm. we know how to maneuver and make all of that shit like gumbo.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? So,
it's true.
Yeah. Y'all cool, but Baltimore got Cisco.
So. Oh, he was.
That's my dog.
Still.
Man. Still. That was a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Juggernaut.
Incredible group, man.
Incredible group. Incredible. Like, still my favorite R&B group
yes.
ever.
Yes.
Still to this day.
You know what? Mine's too, man, but I gotta take Jodeci. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, if I had to really take, and it's no competition because they yeah. all great. But Jodeci for me, man, like when I was coming up, man, that was that group that yeah. when I had a group, we wanted to be like them.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like they had the swag, they had the girls, they had, I mean, you love Boys to Men, but Jodeci was they represented the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like
were.
You felt it. You know what I'm saying? So like, for me, I had to. I mean, Drew Hill came after, so I got to go with Jodeci.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
prime,
I gotta go Jodeci.
Young, clean Casey.
ain't nobody fucking with that.
That was tough, man. Like, I can sit back and I can think about like all the times, like all the times of your career and everything that you've done. If you, Swiss Beatz and Timbaland, call your phone right now, we want to do a versus. Who's that versus going to be against? If
great
you had
question.
To pick.
Mm-hmm. Who's your
great
if you
question.
Could pick.
Who's your Joker to your Batman? Who is it?
And you're going to smoke him. And they're going to get smoked.
Nah.
You're going to add fuel to the fire.
This is my personal opinion, y'all.
On some real, I've heard so many people say so many different things, but my ideal versus would be with Joe.
Ooh.
And the reason why I say Joe
yes.
is because
I love that.
Yes.
One reason is because we both have similar catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the business a little bit longer than me, but he has up tempos, he has ballads,
mm-hmm.
He has mid tempos, and I feel like I got the same type of music. I don't feel like it'd be the same thing if it was me and somebody who only had ballads. Because mm-hmm. a lot of cats only do ballads,
yeah.
right. and a lot of cats don't do both. You know what I'm saying? I think you gotta have both. Cause I got up tempos and ballads. You know what I'm saying? So it would have to be somebody who shared the same type of catalog, I think.
If you had to pick one, who would you pick? Because I know who I would love to see.
Who go,
not
you go
very
first.
Similar
yeah.
as artists. Well, they are kinda because they're very soulful. But just Anthony Hamilton.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Anthony, man, you know what, man?
I would love
let me break this down. Anthony is dope as fuck, man. He can sing his ass
yeah,
off, man.
Yeah,
I mean, he got that type of soul. We so different because he yeah. had that type of shit that's gonna make
it was,
you cry.
It was
yeah. raspy. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like his shit, it's a certain type of.
Yeah.
He got
yeah.
that thing, man. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
So.
Me, I'm on some gangster, smooth type shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why I like it because it's like country versus city.
It's almost like trying to compare Biggie and Tupac. You can't do it. Cause
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like
too biff, yeah.
Tupac it's coming from a motherfucker from a perspective like what somebody say? They said that he's coming from a perspective of Dr. King,
like Marcus Garvey, and all them. Yeah,
and then, Biggie is coming from like a horn player, like he can just groove over his shit.
Absolutely, yeah.
That shit is true. So when you put those two together, it really don't make sense. Even though everybody would try to do it, but it just don't make sense. But Anthony by far, man, he got that shit with him, man.
What about?
Make it cry.
Okay. What about the homie?
I'm really trying to dip into my bag.
You collaborate with, really, but I think it's a good one. And I think you guys will push the best out of each other. What about John B?
Yeah, that's my brother, man. We just did a record together too, man, called Understand, man. I mean, incredible brother, man.
Hey, for man. Real, real. Tim and Swizz, they can do the joint at the end, too.
I would love to do it. You know?
But here's the important question about John B.
Hold on, let me throw my name out there.
The first time you saw John B, what? I mean, the first time you heard John B, did you know he was white?
Nah.
No. Exactly.
Nah, I didn't.
That's true.
You know what? I didn't. But when I watched him and I was like, man, I forgot he was white. I didn't even think about he was white. I was like, he's dope than a motherfucker, man. You know what I'm saying? His color didn't matter no more because he was dope.
I'm going to say Tank.
Ooh.
I say Tank in a way. Like, just style-wise.
I love Tank, man. I love Tank, but he missing the up-tempos.
Yes, that's true.
He missing the up-tempos.
That's true.
And then I think that's the only difference between me and Tank. And he can sing his ass off too, man. He's incredible. Yeah. And he's now when he do get on there, if we did a verses and he started playing shit that he did for other people, see that's another ball game too. You know what I'm saying?
That's
another piece of the puzzle.
But
then
too.
Again, you know, when I start playing shit that I did for other people too, that would be very interesting, but he's a beast, man. Yeah. He's a beast. I mean, certain people, man, like, I think he's one that can go up against himself because he's done a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, again, man, all these guys are incredibly talented, man, and I take my hat off to all of them.
Wow. Damn. Wow, man. Whew. So.
That took me back.
With you being in the game as long as you have, and you looking back at it from a standpoint now of you looking back, what do you think of the state of R&B now compared to years ago? If you was naming all these letters, you had to think now, do you feel like it's, some people feel like it's Chris Brown and then nobody else out. You know what I mean? Like, that's what people say. You know what I mean?
I feel like it's a lot of hits.
I feel like we don't classify certain artists that are really R&B artists, that like Bryson Tiller is an R&B artist, but you don't consider him an R&B artist because he does trap soul, as he says. You know what I'm saying? Like, Black is an R&B artist, but he be spitting on his songs sometimes, so you wouldn't consider him an R&B artist. But
Anderson
like, Pack. Yeah, another perfect example. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Anderson Paak is a hip-hop artist, but he's really an R&B artist. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
there's so much molding of genres.
You know what I'm saying?
That.
Which is beautiful. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, the lines are blurred. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's okay. I mean, when I first came out, you know, if you heard my music, I probably one of the first R&B guy that said on a record. You know, this is for my in the hood.
It's true.
But that flow is kind of like it's kind of like a rap flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of my shit is kind of like a rap flow. So I didn't start this shit.
Yeah.
Right. R. Kelly was doing it. I mean, shit. James Brown was rapping on records
too.
That's
true. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just elevation, man. I mean, you know, we just evolve over time. And things happen now. Rappers and singers are in the same category.
Yeah,
Drake is dope because he can do both. You know what I'm saying?
And
so I mean,
Drake,
I
used to hate on Drake because of that.
I have a hard time with Drake sometimes.
You the only one.
Yeah, but you can't knock the fact
Ask
that
the
guy
numbers on Spotify.
He knows how to make dope records, man. He knows how to put shit together, and it sounds good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, you know, it's music, man. And when you can touch people, man, I mean, you know, you can't really say nothing.
But
much
do you
about
see
that.
Anybody out there that you would like, you would say, outside of Jacquees, you would say, you know what? If I had that dude under my wing, I could do something. Like, anybody out there that you would say now, or would Jacquees be that dude? It would just be him.
It wouldn't just be him, because I want to fuck with everybody, you know what I'm saying? But that's my little brother, you know what I'm saying? Like I got so much respect for him because, I mean, he's a gentleman, he takes care of his family. He takes care of his hood, and he's very respectable, man. You know what I'm saying? As a young man, you don't find too many people like that, man. You know, a lot of people got big egos, and he got one, you know what I'm saying? As he should, you know what I'm saying? Because he's worked his ass off to get to where he is. But I got a lot of respect for him because, you know, he came to me, man. He was like, yo, big bro, I want you to hear my record. And not when I heard it, I was like, yo, this shit is dope. But he was like, yo, but I want one of your records, though. Can you do a record for me? And the way he came to me, it just made me feel like, yo, man, he want me to be a part of his right. shit.
It's was that
just,
was that 23?
That was 23.
Right.
You know, so when he came, it was like, he had already had all the other records. I think one of my records was the last one he did. And I just had so much respect for him after that. It's just, you know, everything I do now, you know, I want to involve him in it because I feel like, you know, like there's a lot of a love between us, man, yeah. that I just want to show the world, man, like this young brother right here, he's the truth, man.
And he's doing it the right way.
He's the truth. He's the truth.
He's doing it the right way, man. When he came out with the King of R&B thing, I understood where the promotion
he's
for himself.
He's supposed to feel like that.
Well, the mentality
all,
I got.
I mean, we all supposed to, yep. bro. I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? This comes with the territory, bro. Yeah. I mean, you know, we all supposed to feel like we're great. We're great at what we do. And some people
and
just come
all,
out
and
say
me and Swerve both think we the best rapper in WWE.
I mean...
Y'all want to settle that? To. Y'all supposed to settle that now? Or, I mean, what do I mean?
Just let me get out the way.
Let me get out the way too.
I'm
out the way.
I'm still a rookie in this journey. But
I feel like I can make a better Mortal Kombat movie. we
gonna get there. At this point, yes. Talk your truth, sir. One thing I want to bring up too, man, because it's something that I really, really am thinking about. It's something we're going to. It's kind of like a series of a question that we're asking everyone. And when we had Charlotte Flair in this chair, we was asking her about it. Longevity, right? You've been to the mountaintop. You've sold all these records. Do you feel, though, that longevity is respected now the way it needs to be? Or when you get to the longevity point of your career, where you've accomplished everything? Because it seems like with certain people, when you've been around a long time, they act like, one, you might not have it anymore, or they're just tired of seeing you. They're ready for the next thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When you've been
legacy
around.
Legacy mode, you still call it.
Yeah, legacy mode. When you've accomplished everything, but you're in that point of your legacy where you're like, you're making your imprint to your Hall of Fame career, it seems like everybody just start writing you off. Like, nah, you know, I ain't got it no more. Do you feel like with people nowadays, they respect when you're in your legacy time? Because you're still in your legacy time.
You know what, man? I don't pay attention to it.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I don't pay attention to it. Negativity, I pay no attention to. You know what I'm saying? If you fuck with me, I'll fuck with you. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have time to invest time into something that you know, that's not beneficial to me.
Amen.
And if it's something that's not positive, I stay away from it.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just all about love, man. I'm all about love. I'm all about sharing it. I'm all about learning more about myself. Everything is supposed to be, for me, everything is supposed to be about self-development. Mm-hmm. The better you get to know self, the better you can understand who you are, and the better you can teach other people how to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm about. So amen. I'm not really thinking about legacy. I'm not thinking about none of those things. I'm thinking about how can I be a better person.
Amen, bro. You know? And that's what the thing we all as entertainers always talk about is people to appreciate what the person's giving you, the journey, the positive, because... Well, you know, we'll speak about this. You know, we just recently lost so many legends. DMX, Black Rob, Shock G, Digital Underground. Rest in peace to all those legends. And, you know, sitting back to say, you know what? It's time for, instead of critiquing everything everybody's doing, just appreciate everybody's career. One thing I want to ask you, do you have any personal relationship with any of them? With DMX, with Black Rob?
Any memories? I wish I had known a lot of these guys, man. I really hadn't spent any time with these guys. You know, my time... at the highest of my career I was an introvert. You know what I'm saying? I was the guy that you know, I go jump on stage and do my thing, but then at a party, I'd be in the corner by myself. Cause I mean, that's just my personality. I'm a studio rat. I love being in the studio. I'm just not really starting to get out my shell and come out. You know what I'm saying? I'm blossoming as a flower now. Right. I'm finna be 48. You know what I'm saying? And you know, everybody don't bloom at the same time.
Absolutely.
Everybody, you know, things happen differently for different people at different times. At that particular time in my life, I wasn't there yet. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm out and I'm doing things that I didn't do before. And I'm enjoying life. You know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying myself. Back then, I had a lot of things that were holding me back. You know what I'm saying? I was self-conscious about a lot of things in my life at that particular time. Wow. So now, you know, now that I found who I am and I love who I am, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. You know what I'm saying? Excuse my French. You know what I'm saying? But I'm free.
How do you channel that into the music?
That album right there, 100% free. Mm. Because that meant a lot to me. I'm 100% free from a lot of things that were holding me back. And in order to get there, know what I'm saying? You have to understand, like, yo, you got to drop everything and start brand new. Because a lot of people don't understand, like, some of the things that we hold on to or some of the things we were taught were wrong. You know what I'm saying? You got to start over. You got to build your own foundation. You know what I'm saying? Like the rules are yours. You set them. You break them. You know what I'm saying? Don't take somebody else's word for truth if you didn't experience it.
That's the problem that I think a lot of us are facing that holds us back a lot of times because other people are going, they're giving you their rule book.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you're breaking all the rules. Like, yeah, yours,
yeah,
not
best,
mine.
The best teacher is experience, man. If you experience it, you know exactly what you don't want, what you do want. That may be your experience, but it's not mine.
Exactly.
This was good for me. It may not have been good for you.
And it's unorthodox to a lot of people.
Exactly.
Like, for a lot of average people, like I said, like, there's nothing wrong with being average. Like I said, live your life. Do what you want to do. Makes you happy. Keep doing it. But some people, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. Like, average, like, we want to be extraordinary. We want to keep
trying
to do extraordinary things.
We
can't have an average mindset to do extraordinary things. Yep. You know, like, and that's just everybody in here, like, my crew, everybody. Does extraordinary things and meets extraordinary people, get extraordinary energy.
So exactly. I believe
we're
in
able
that.
To achieve extraordinary things together, but you got to get around that energy.
One thing I want to bring up real quick too is because we at Diversity Podcast, we provide ourselves as a family. You know what I mean? We started this podcast some years ago and we found some great guys and people that have joined us as a team. Mike the Gold over there aside. Talk a little bit and, you know, experiencing and talking to your team, man, has been an amazing thing getting this all set up. Tell us a little bit about the team, man. Shout out your team as well and everybody that you work with as well. Show love to the people that helps Donnell Jones and anything that he has to get done, especially in this game.
Oh, well, my business partner straight off is Jamal right here, man. Jamal and Yard Out, man, takes care of everything. I mean, he handles everything, man. And, you know, I appreciate him because, again, you know, he worked with a lot of other people in the business. We're not going to talk about that part. But what I've seen in him is that, man, like, he's honest. He believes in what he does. And he's a go-getter. You know what I'm saying? Like, he makes shit happen. He ain't one of them ones that's sitting on just waiting for a phone call, like a high-paid secretary. Amen. He making calls. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, some people sit back and they wait on calls.
I hate that. I hate it.
And I can do that in my damn shit.
Yes. He making the calls. He making shit happen. So you got to appreciate a person like that, man, to be in your corner. And I appreciate that. I got my man right here, Malik. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Malik ain't playing, yo. Malik gonna drop that. Malik will drop that bomb on you in a minute. You know what I'm saying?
We got the crew in here.
Hey, you don't want them paws on you. You know what I'm saying? Malik, lay them on you. You know what I'm saying? And you know, my nephew, man, he's my DJ. He's Jair. Incredible artist, man. He's just starting to make his own music, man. And I really appreciate him just learning from me, man. It shows me that, you know, I've rubbed off on somebody. My sister, man, who handles me, man, my wife. I got a lot of my family around me, man. You know,
that's good.
It's important, man, for me to have the people that I really know that got my back, that love me in my corner, man. And it keeps me straight, man. It keeps me knowing who I am and it keeps me level-headed, man. You know, because sometimes, you know, again, we can feel ourselves a little bit too much. You know, ego come
this,
in,
today's
man.
Today's the episode for it, though,
and you
man.
Get lost in it. You know what I'm saying? You get lost in the ego.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, sometimes it take a hell of a lot of shit to tear that down, man, for you to understand
talk about
who
it, man.
You really are.
Talk about you know? It, man.
Yeah. There's always someone else that'll just, like, check you.
Because there's always, because for as much as you are on your run, there's always one person watching. And that person studies all your moves, know everything you're doing. And I remember Tyrone Woodley, the MMA fighter, he just lost to Usman. He lost his belt. And he was like, the problem was, that was my little homie. Mm. I trained him the whole time. Ooh. He was studying my whole playbook. Took my whole playbook. Ooh. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be the welterweight champion. You'll get it one day. Lord knows this dude came. He's like, that's my brother. He came, fought me in the ring, hit me harder than anybody ever did, and took my title. And now I'm down in the ranks because I let someone catch up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's when you have a catalog like this. It's like, yo, this is for me, and this is what I love to do. But also from, like you said, the ego is almost like, look, I got to put this work out.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I love to do. So, you know, this is something that I feel like I have to do for myself. And, you know, everybody loves to talk about the, you know, the You Know What's Up records and stuff like that. But one record I want to personally ask you about from my standpoint is Have You Seen Her from this album, Where I Want to Be. I'm going to put this up right here.
Love this song.
Right here, if you guys have it. Mike DeGoe to put it on the screen as well. Tell me a little bit. I want to personally know about that record. Mm-hmm. Have You Seen Her, man? What was the process in that record? That's my joint.
Top song on Spotify right now.
On that particular record, that record was written and produced by this guy by the name of Eric Williams. Now, Eric Williams. Okay. Eric Williams and Wes. Mm-hmm. What it called? Wes. I forget his last name, but Wes. They were writing partners. We together wrote Shorty Got Eyes on Me.
Okay.
But then when we wrote that particular record together, they went and did another record called Have You Seen Her. I didn't have anything to do with that record. But when I heard it, I was like, yo, this shit's so fire, man. This shit's so crazy. Now, Eric was in Blackstreet.
Oh,
Eric Williams.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Now this pre Dave Hollister or after Dave Hollister?
It's after Dave Hollister.
Okay. Okay.
It's after Dave Hollister.
I know my stuff.
So Eric was one of the guys, man, who incredible writer. He wrote a lot of stuff on the Blackstreet album. Incredible writer, man. He's done a lot of things, man. And when he wrote that record, I was like, yo, dude, this is me, man. Like it told a story without even seeing the video. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I learned a lot from him as far as writing as well. Because the visual that he gave you, you know what I'm saying? Like, sitting at the light, she pulled up on my right, looking in the mirror, making sure her shit was tight.
Tight.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the swag on that record,
yes, Lord,
that he's saying to her, it's like you could see it in motion without even seeing the video. And then the track was banging. Another incredible writer, man, that I learned a lot from was Kenny Green, man. I don't know if you know who that is. Kenny Green from Intro. Kenny Green, man, yes, was another incredible writer, man, yes, that wrote all of Mary J. Blige's first album with the 411. I mean, incredible writer,
rest,
man.
Rest in peace, bro.
Big shout
soon
out to my man, Eddie F., man, who signed me, man, who found me, man.
How'd you get found?
I was with a group, and I think it was in 92, we went to the BRE. We did a lot of shows in Chicago at the time. And we decided to go to the BRE. It's called the Black Radio Exclusive Convention that was happening in Washington, D.C. And we went out there, we had a showcase, but nobody knew who we were, so nobody came to the showcase. we was kind of singing, in front of nobody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we went outside the hotel. We was like, yo, let's go outside and sing for anybody who walk out. You know what I'm saying? So Eddie F. happened to be one of the people that walked out. He was like, yeah, y'all can sing for us. Eddie F. is a Heavy D's DJ from Heavy D and the Boys.
Amen. Rest in peace, Heavy D.
Amen.
Yeah, rest in peace, Heavy D.
Bless King.
And he was like, yeah, y'all can sing for me, man. So after we sung for him, he was like, yo, I'm going to sign y'all. Don't sing for nobody else. So as soon as he walked off, we started singing for other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, he ain't finna sign. We heard that before. He actually came back over.
Right.
He was like, yo, really, don't sing for nobody else, man. So about a month later, he sent us plane tickets from Chicago to come out to New York. And he signed us, man.
Wow.
Yep.
You was really singing on the street.
We was really singing on the street, bro.
And ended up with a record deal.
Yep. Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's why I say, man, every opportunity you got to take it, because you never know who's there, who's listening, who's watching. You never know. Just do it. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, yeah, bro.
You'd be surprised. Like, there'd be people that book you. I've been booked off of a match that was on YouTube that had 300 views.
Mm-hmm. So
one of those 300 views got me another opportunity somewhere else.
Yep. Yeah.
Take every opportunity when you're on camera. That's an opportunity for somebody to see you and blow you up. You never know.
Look at my show. I was when I was in the NFL, I was doing every sports analyst
convo on the radio, on podcasts. I was doing every sports analyst, you know, gig I could get on TV for free, not just going in, just sharpening my skills, making sure that people knew that I was nice, getting my name out there, making the right connections. And then an opportunity came as soon as I signed with WWE to host the show. And they're like, oh, we love him. Does he have any experience on TV? And I'm like, yeah, 100 yep. hours.
You got hours now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So now you're ready for that.
Just
for
like that. Yep. Now, okay, well, now you can host this show. And now I'm the host of the show. But if I didn't put that work in for free for years while I was in the NFL.
People don't understand that.
You know what I'm saying? If I didn't go out of my way to network and do that, then I wouldn't have been given this opportunity now.
The networking is more valuable than the money you're going to get.
Everything shouldn't be about money, man. No. I mean, you know, everything shouldn't be about money because you know what, man? Like, the money is a byproduct, man. It's going to happen, man. When you love doing what you do and you give your all to it, the money is going to come. That's just a byproduct of loving what you do.
What you do.
And you have to enjoy it.
Yes, yes,
like,
man.
Like, no, I don't care that I'm not making any money on this 18-hour drive to do this show. I'm happy to be in the opportunity to do a show that's 18 hours away. That's not in my, like, the 25-mile radius of shows that everybody does. No, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Bro, like, my first tour I ever did, I was with a guy named Route Runner. He works at Def Jam, and I literally drove from my own show, from show to show, myself in a car from Tampa to Orlando to Miami to back to Jacksonville to Atlanta to New Orleans to by myself going out. Sometimes there'd be 30 people there, sometimes there'd be 250 people there, but I was doing what I needed to do at the time in order to get it done. But the problem is, nowadays, if you don't blow up on TikTok or on the internet, a lot of people don't even want to put that work in. Like, if this newer generation of artists, like, what do you think about the fact that nowadays in the music business especially, there's a lot of artists that are completely unknown, nobody knows who they are, and then a viral instant happens, and just like that overnight, they are super successful, and then they don't have the ability to maintain that over time.
I mean, that's how a lot of people commit suicide, man. Because, I mean, they don't understand how to accept failure. You know what I'm saying? They just see the success, and they don't know how to accept failure as well. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, again, I think everybody, when you become a star, man, that you get bitten by the bug. That ego just, it gets heavy, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember, man, I felt like I was a shit. Like, can nobody tell me nothing, man? Can nobody tell me nothing, man?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then that first taste of failure is like, oh, shit. It's like, you stuck. Right. Like, somebody hit you in the stomach.
Yeah. Right.
But then you start to learn, like, man, you know what, man? This life is a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Just ride the wave. You know what I'm saying? Everything ain't going to be hunky-dory all the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You just got to learn how to ride the wave and enjoy what you're doing. No matter, disconnect yourself from the failure or the success. And just enjoy what you're doing.
Yep.
Instead of worrying about the highs and the lows, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And everything else, it don't even matter.
And that's the thing that was
And absorb that failure, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, sit with it for a second.
Yeah. I even said in a song that I got coming out later, I said, don't be afraid to fail, because even if you fail, you realize that you live to tell the tale.
Exactly. That's real shit.
I mean, it's facts, because the thing is, the thing that I find with this is because all of us sitting here at this table have been great enough to go through the ups and downs for everything that is necessary to get there. And the thing that people do not do, which he said, and that was a great thing because I see it all the time, is people do not disconnect themselves from the outcome either way. They don't know how to do that. They are so focused on being successful, seeing what everybody else is doing. Look, bro, if you want to sit there and worry about what Drake doing, bro. You know what I mean? like, not saying you can't get there. I'm not saying it's not possible. But I'm saying if you're just going to look at that Spotify and see what, you know what I mean? If that's motivating, great. But don't compare yourself to disconnect yourself
I call that quarterback syndrome because, like, if a team is winning, they're like, man, the quarterback's playing great. And that's not always the time. You know what I'm saying? Right. Sometimes it's not you.
Whooping your ass.
And then sometimes the team's playing bad, and they're like, oh, the quarterback's terrible. But the quarterback's doing his job. It's the, you know what I'm saying? It's the team around him. So it's like, it's sad to see, like, people are so invested in putting themselves in the success or failure of whatever they're doing. Like they can't take a moment to step back and realize, all right, hold on. Some of this is not in my control.
Some of this is not on me. I got to be willing to recognize and have enough of a awareness about myself to not have the hubris that I can control everything that I'm doing. That's the major problem that a lot of people face.
Amen.
You can't. It's impossible. It's a lot of part. Like if you look at the grand picture of what you're trying to achieve, it can be overwhelming. That's where a lot of people fail and quit and get out of it. Like you got to take it piece by piece. I'm like, okay, I do want to get this. You get there, then you go for this. Then like the streams, you look at the 25 billion streams. It's like, there's no way you're going to be overwhelmed. I'm not doing this music thing. There's no way. But if you look at, let me get 5,000 real quick. Let's see if this can happen. Then you, oh, wow, we got 6. I feel good about myself. Then you get confidence enough to go to 10, 15, 100. Then you're like, now you're 100,000. Now you can go gold with 5. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have to find ways to just
steps, increment,
and then, get pieces of that.
And then to add to that, it's the next step. Because what happens is after you master that, then if you, and let's say you learn how to disconnect from the outcome, then when you, they always say, get around people that's doing better than you. Then you got to get around people that are doing better than you and you not take it to heart that they're doing better than you. Mm-hmm. And you got to rise yourself to get to that point. That takes a lot of ego checking too, that a lot of people can't do. If everybody around you doing better, you like, damn, everybody driving a Bentley and I ain't got no car, but I'm going to work for it. I'm going to be around people that, you know, can motivate me.
People don't realize that success is a battle of attrition.
Amen.
Well, right? What is success? Success is just a word, something that you measure yourself by somebody else's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because what is it?
Right.
For everybody has a different one.
But I'm saying, like, but what is success when you really break it down?
I think it changes every day. Like,
but what is it though?
Yeah.
It's not a physical act.
Right.
Something you can touch.
Right.
It's just a word. It's just a word to measure yourself by somebody else's. You know what I'm saying? Or something you can measure yourself by something you didn't do or something. You know what I mean? It's just a word to me.
I feel that.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you really look at it, is it?
Yeah, my success is it? Could be your failure. Like,
it's just a word.
You know?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. I mean,
like if I stare at Roman Reigns every freaking day, every week on TV, I'm like, man, I'm never going to achieve this. Well, no, I got to stare at this first.
Exactly.
Like, that's my success. Like, I have multiple different avenues of what I want success to define as. I don't have one successful thing. Like, I want a success here. I want to succeed in this. I want to succeed here. It breaks it up. Therefore, like, I'm always motivated on multiple different things. That's what success means for me, personally. Everybody else, I think, makes their own success.
And that's what I think. It's a personal thing.
Yes.
It's a personal thing, you know what I'm saying, depending on what it is that you want to go after.
Yeah. I don't want to switch gears too fast, but I want to say, is it true that you are a wrestling fan?
Yeah, I'm a wrestling fan, but I'm a fan of the older days, man. Like, I don't know if y'all guys...
Come on,
try me. He's going to the house.
Like,
he got Ronnie Piper on his head.
Like Dick the Bruiser.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The Claw. Uh-huh. The Iron Sheik.
Uh-huh. Iron Sheik is on the show.
You know,
Sergeant Slaughter's on the show.
What was the other guy?
Bob Backlund's on the show.
Superfly
Jimmy Snuka is not on the show. But Superfly.
He is not here today.
I mean, of course, Hulk Hogan and all the newer guys and my man right here. But I, you know what? To be honest with you, man, I'm this year and last year, I'm not really a TV fan. You know what I'm saying?
Even though, I mean, I was going to say even though you're stuck at the house, but I ain't been stuck at the house. I've been on the road the whole time. So.
I kind of been like, you know, just on some meditation shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to just develop self a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? You know, I hear a lot of people call, no disrespect to the TV world, but a lot of people call it the dummy tube.
you know
what I'm saying? Like, I don't call it that, but I mean, I'm hearing a lot. Like,
it might be on to something.
I mean, we do got more channels and less to watch.
So I just been on, just me, man. I'm on a spiritual thing, man, where, you know, I'm trying to just develop self, you know, and that doesn't mean that I don't come back to who I am, but it just means that I'm just trying to develop a little bit more about who I am and just try to be a better person. And try to grow a little bit more in that way.
Yeah, that's cool. Don't worry. We can watch WrestleMania again on Peacock later on, bro.
Don't mean I won't watch it.
We got this, bro.
Don't mean I won't watch it. Just mean that, you know, right now I'm just on something different.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, and that's just being honest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have been told that you collect figures, you collecting, or what, did you have any?
Well, Jamal is the collector.
Yeah?
Yeah, Jamal is the collector, man. I mean, if you go over this guy's house, man, he got
the memorabilia.
Walls and stuff, man, and glasses, man, all kind of boxing gloves, all kind of stuff, man.
Yeah.
He got all kind of stuff, man.
What's the most prized possession?
I got some autographed Muhammad Ali.
I do too.
He used to give out these little belt buckles. He used to give them out to dignitaries and presidents of the United States.
Ooh.
And his adopted son gave me one.
Wow. So he got a belt buckle.
It's a replica of the WBC belt, but it's signed by Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Signed by Muhammad Ali.
He also showed me the WBC title.
See, that's way cooler.
Floyd Mayweather.
That's way cooler than the random picture of Muhammad Ali I have signed.
Yo. But this dude right here. He got some Superman comic books.
You got Superman versus Muhammad Ali or what?
No, he got some comic books that's worth about $100,000, man. This guy. So he's a collector too, man. Malik is a collector too, man. Okay,
I haven't collected anything in a very long time.
I collect checks though.
Bars.
That's what I collect.
Talk about checks.
Bars.
You know what I'm saying?
Talk about
bars.
It.
Bars.
I got original bars. DMX
Wow. Oh,
yeah, that's crazy.
Speaking of DMX.
He said he got the original Superman DMX comic that DMX bought him.
DMX just got laid to rest today. By the time y'all watching this,
man, rest in peace, DMX, man.
Rest in peace, DMX.
Got a memorial for him.
Incredible, brother, man.
Never be another of that, man.
Man.
That guy is incredible.
Gifted, man. Gifted with the tongue, man. I mean, like, man, his verses, his raps, man, incredible, man. And ain't gonna be another one like him, man. For real.
We were just in, like, the last episode, it was Nita Strauss was here, and we were talking about the influence DMX had. Like, not just cross just hip-hop, but genre of music. You look at every, like I said, last episode, I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I'm going to do it. The Woodstock concert show where he shows up.
Yeah, there's 20 million people in the
room. Millions of people, seas of people, that footage up there. And everybody, white, black, Asian, Mexican, Spanish, German, like French,
he brought
Egyptian.
Them out.
Everybody knows the lyrics to that. Everybody knows the lyrics to a DMX record. That is powerful.
Yeah, man.
Man can cry on stage and people feel that. And
he was real, man. I mean, you felt
the same, man. First artist to go number one twice in the same year.
Who else has done that? Not even Michael Jackson.
First artist to go number one twice in the same year.
Who else could say they did that?
I mean, Lord.
It has a smooth transition to movies too.
Yeah.
Never looked out of place.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the few rappers I said like had a great transition to movies. Like, growing up, that's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
his first five albums went number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
We always talk about the first four. Mm-hmm. The first four albums. He's one of them.
Yeah.
Who has a great first four projects.
He's one of them.
He probably wrote 18 other ones.
Right.
You know what's crazy in that theory, though? Ooh. If you think about it, like, my personal favorite rapper of all time is Jay. But Jay's third and fourth album aren't better than his, like, seventh and ninth album.
The middle is, like,
the
middle
first two was flame. But, like, Blueprint was his, sixth album? Man. The Black Album was his, like, eighth album.
Yeah.
American Gangster was like his
12th
album. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He put a lot of work in too.
Yeah,
man.
For sure. Oh,
yeah, he put a lot of work in.
I asked you this earlier when we had dinner, but I want to ask you again here on the show. Who's your favorite artist to work with?
I would say it's got to be between Big Pun and
I was hoping.
And Lisa, Left Eye Lopez.
Oh.
If I had to choose, I would probably choose Lisa. She's more dear to my heart because at the time, you know, I had already had my first album out, but nobody still knew who Donnell was. But when she jumped on that You Know What's Up track, you know, at that time, TLC was like the number one group in the country, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
No Scrubs was the hottest record. She had just burned down Andre Rison's house. But that made them even bigger.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they sold even 5 more million records after she did that. So it just made people look at Donnell like, yo, who, speaking of third person, made people look at me like, like, yo, who the hell is this cat that she jumped on his record? That's so it just shined a light on me, man, that I probably wouldn't have got. And it opened me up to a lot of more people that hadn't known me.
Now, so what's crazy is after you get sent them vocals, and you talk about ego, and you get sent them vocals from Left Eye, you like, you know what? I'm the GOAT, bro.
Nah. I didn't think that until that record went number one for 8 weeks. Right, when that motherfucker on the charts for 8 weeks, I was like, I'm a shit.
Oh, yo, man. He said, I'm going to let my hair down a little bit on this one.
You know what?
I got to flex a little bit.
I had a birthday party, man. J-Lo came to it, man.
Hey, who else?
Jay-Z was there. Janet Jackson. Aaliyah. Timberland, Missy, everybody was there, man. I mean, and I was off in the corner because I was. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how big that record was. Wow. That's how big that record was. It was amazing, man. You know, for me, man, that record is like one of those Frankie Beverly records that's going to stand the test of time. It's just going to be
you
a record.
You put it on right now. I'm vibing. It has
a groove to it, man. Thanks to Eddie F, man, who produced that record, man. It was incredible, man, for real.
You mentioned the Big Pun record. Obviously, like, that was goodbye record to Pun.
That was a Pun, you know what I'm saying? Man.
Like, what was that like for you to be given an opportunity to be a part of the record that everyone did on Big Pun's birthday? That record rings out on every radio station every year. I mean, to this day.
Let me tell you this. The reason why Big Pun called was because You Know What's Up was already number one. Mm. So that's why he called. Because he wouldn't have called if it hadn't have been, you know, if I wasn't hot at the time. Yeah. So back to Lisa. But again, when I did that record with Big Pun, man, it was probably the funnest record I ever did in my life. Because we was everybody was in the studio. It felt like a club, smoking, drinking. Everybody was there, Fat Joe, everybody. It was an event. You know what I'm saying? We just had fun. I'm in there doing my party, coming to his part. It was one of those records, man. You're like, damn, man, this is a moment, man. And it just felt really good. You know, I didn't know that he was gonna pass away. Nobody did. But
how much longer after doing the record did he pass away?
I'm not really sure, man. I think maybe 5 or 6 months. Mm. It was incredible, man. I mean, it was incredible just being in the studio with him and having that moment, and then seeing that whole video come together like it did, man. I mean, you know, I just shot my little part. I didn't even know how big it was going to be.
Right.
You know, and
that video still gives me
big
cheers,
shout out,
man.
Big Pun, man, and Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Much love to y'all.
Amazing, amazing records, man. Amazing classics. And like, so classics. at that time, you bring up a great point, because you said you have the hottest record in the streets, the hottest record, and you just was like introverted. You know what I mean? Introverted. Like, is that just, I'm just thinking about that time, and it's like, do you feel like you really enjoyed it? Do you feel like you really enjoyed it? Like, I looking back now, as older, do you feel like you really enjoyed that time? Like, outside of being in the studio hearing it.
I enjoyed it with my family. I enjoyed it in the quiet moments, you know, like me being alone and shit. Yeah. Like,
yo, I'm
like,
that dude.
Oh, shit. Like, man, oh, man, I can't believe this shit. I'm just a dude in Chicago. Yeah. Look, because you gotta remember, man, I'm from Chicago. I watched Michael Jackson go on stage to get awards and shit like that. I never thought I'd be in the music business. I never thought that shit, man, in a million years, man. It was just a dream to me. Amen. And then, you know, having a number one record in the country for 8 weeks, you know what I'm saying? Then winning an American Music Award, man. I mean, it was...
Who going number one for 2 months right now?
It was crazy, man. I mean, it was crazy, man. So,
good question.
I feel like God's Plan was the last one to have that long run stretch.
It was amazing, man. And you know, again, man, I couldn't believe it was me. You know what I'm saying? I really couldn't believe it was me, man. But I do feel like I did miss out, because I should have enjoyed it with other people more. But I just didn't know how, because, again, I just wasn't brought up that way. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't built that way. Now I'm different. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, like I said, back then, I was holding on to a lot of things. I was self-conscious about a lot of things. And I just didn't know how to express myself. That goes back to, you know, in the world, we have a lot of mental health problems, but people don't know how to express themselves and they do crazy shit or they just don't know how to be themselves, you know, without becoming a problem. And at that particular time, you know, instead of me becoming a problem, I was just an introvert. You know, I just didn't know how to be me. And I learned that through meditation, I learned how to find myself and how to become a better person and understand things. So
age just matured with age.
Age is a lot, man. Because when you're young, man, like I was a gangbanger, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I was from the streets. You know what I'm saying? Even though my pops was a pastor, that didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because when he was at work, I'd still be doing my own thing.
Right.
You know, so you just gotta learn how to, you know, just grow up and become a man. That's what happened. I grew up.
Amen, man. Tell us a little bit about fatherhood, man. I mean, let's talk about the kids, the babies, man. Like, I know you have grown children, you have a young son. Tell a bit about fatherhood, man, and passing that lineage on to your kids, man. I saw you on Instagram not too long ago. You said you was at the club with your kids for the first time, man. How'd that feel? You know what I mean? Like, that experience. I know.
Man, you know, but, you know, to my girls, you know, I was a young dad. I had my first kid when I was 19, you know, so, again, you know, we grew up together. So now it's fun for me to be able to see them. Like, I'm the type of father where is that live your life. I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you ask me, I'll give you my opinion, but my opinion means nothing. Just, you know, just if it means something to you, take my advice. If it don't, but live your life, do what it is that you want to do. Cause I never want my pops was the kind of person was like, yo, son, go live, go do you. You know what I'm saying? If you need me, I'll be there. And that's how I want to be with my kids. He never pressured me to do anything. And that's how I want to be with my children. And but I'm a different father with my younger kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm a different, because you know what? I wish my older daughters would have got the father that I am today. Because, you know, I'm more loving, I'm there. You know, my patience is different. You know, when I was a kid, you know, I was spanking them and shit. You know, I don't do that shit no more, man. Like, you know, facts. So I feel bad that they had to experience that type of dad, because I wish they would have got this one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I try to show my son and my daughter something different because, you know, I just want to, you know, I'm a different person, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to pass down my wrestling to my daughters.
Nah, don't do that.
Do not want to. Leah and Aya, you ain't getting into wrestling. No.
My sons is definitely not playing football. I can tell you that.
No?
Much.
Oh, no.
You don't want them to do it?
No. They'll have the athletic ability to go pro in something else. It's just like, I'm not, if my son came to me, first of all, I would not let my son play football before high school, period. I would not let him play football before high school because point blank, period.
The concussions and stuff?
Not even concussions. The truth of the matter is your body don't develop enough until you in high school. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, honestly, I train kids, high school kids and college kids, you know, that want to make it to the NFL. And when I train them, their parents inevitably come up to me and they're like, hey man, what's it going to take for my son to get to the NFL? What's it going to take? And I'm like, if your son can make it to the NFL, he already got it. If 95% of making it to the NFL is genetics. The other 5% is luck. Stay out of trouble. Don't get hurt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you got it, if you are that level of a world-class athlete, you'll get there. Like, but the problem is when you have all these kids nowadays that they don't understand that there's going to be peaks and valleys. Like you said, you was on top of the world and you had your first failure and you was like, oh shit, like I'm hurting. Kids expect immediate success today. Like they don't, like when I was in high school, I used to take the train to school because I had a scholarship to go to a private school that I would have never got the opportunity to go to if I wasn't playing sports. You know what I'm saying? Like I only got those opportunities because I was good at football and basketball. Like, if I wasn't good at those things, I would have been in the same school that all my homies went to, and all of them, they still live in the same area. They still do the same things. Like, I was just lucky, and I didn't waste an opportunity. Just like you was lucky that the record exec came out of the building when you were singing in the street, and you didn't waste the opportunity. You were saying, man, you never know when your opportunities go come. You don't, but you got to give yourself those opportunities. They ain't gonna come. They say, oh, knock your opportunity knocking at your door. I ain't never seen that door.
Yeah. Yeah, I already made a decision. Like, with my son, like my son is slowly starting to get into music slowly. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna hook you up with other people from other opinions that can help you with your music. And then, you know what I mean? Instead of me being there, because I might, you know what I mean? Like, I want you to have a different experience. And not having me hovering over you, mm-hmm. even though it might be some fun exercise we're going to be doing together later, but I'd rather hook you up with different people mm-hmm. that can give you a different perspective. So it's not coming from dad. You know what I mean?
You know, the dad vibes is always going to, like,
yeah, that's corny, dad.
Your dad can say, my dad, if I had a dollar every time my dad told me something that somebody else told me I thought was a brilliant idea,
yeah.
I'd have a lot more brilliant ideas.
Yeah, then he'd be like, dad, man, that ball was trash, dad. That ball was whack, dad.
You want me to rhyme with sucker? No.
Sucker MC, you know?
Buster?
No. I'm out.
Like, it's funny, like, my dad used to tell me stuff all the time when I was like, because I used to go visit him and spend summers with him at like 12, 11, 13 years old in Buffalo. And like, he was married to my stepmom. Very church loving, going Bible studies, tent revivals, all that stuff, all the summer stuff. And they used to tell me stuff all the time. And I was like, oh my God, just because it was coming from that environment, I was like, this is like, I'm a kid. I want to watch cartoons. I want to go do this. I'm action. It's like, Bible study is great, but it's like, it's too slow for me. And I couldn't take the time and register it.
I got slapped a lot in church, for sure.
Yeah. I never got slapped. But I would fall asleep a lot. But
I did too.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Until they start singing.
Yeah. But those same lessons they were telling me in Bible school or doing the revivals, I didn't get it till I got in the military. Mm-hmm. And in the military, it all, I get it. Mm-hmm. It's registered to me. It was just weird. I had to be in the, once again, fast environment. Mm-hmm. I had to be around people that constantly moving, had to have order. Because, like, military, there's so many people come from all different walks of life. They organize everything ABC.
Mm-hmm.
ABC. Because universally, everybody has to understand the system. So when it was put into the ABC format in a system, I was like, I get it. I understand it. And it registered to me. Sometimes, like, so for me, that's where I'm at with my girls. I got to find their system where it's mm-hmm. going to register to them. So it's not always coming from dad. Mm-hmm. Okay, dad. All right, dad. So it's very interesting.
More power to you, because my grandfather was in the Air Force. My uncle's in the Air Force. My other uncle's in the Army. I would never have joined the military. I would have rather joined the block, for real.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
Keeping it 100 with you. Oh, yeah?
My mom recruited me. I had no choice. My mom was my recruiter. She said, son, 2 weeks after high school, you're going to Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Dang!
Your diploma? Thank you. Putting that in your file. I'm like, I didn't even get the plaque.
Wow.
And she took it and put it in the file and sent it to the military with me. Uncle Sam has my diploma.
I pick up my son yesterday. All right. Done talking to his mom, everything. Pick him up. Dad, I like this girl.
Ooh.
Oh, God. No. You like this girl? He's 10. You like this girl, huh? Okay.
Hey.
So then it dawned on me how much time is passing and how fast things go. Because I'm sitting there talking to this kid about, like, I have to start
if
talking
10,
to him about
you like
that.
Girls at 16, you're going to be a granddaddy.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
You'll figure the rest of it out later.
I'm already buying training bras.
You are? God bless your soul. I'm not ready for...
How old is she?
11 going on 12.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's
9.
About the time. It's about
and
the time.
And 9 coming up.
Bless you. I got 13-year-old, so it's about the time, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I listen to Donnell Jones records, bro. What do you think? How do you think I got here?
I got four kids, two baby mamas, bro. I wasn't playing, bro. Four kids, two baby mothers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now, a lot of this was playing. You know what I mean?
They ain't mad at you.
So, you know, that's just how it goes.
You got this shit from the library from here. Yeah, I got it. I can't remember.
How many libraries?
The library be getting music like this for real?
Yeah. Wow. I didn't give it back either. I muscled that. Bro, that thing said Donnell.
You probably owe $400 right now.
Oh, they built the hell out of me, bro. I remember, bro, I was in that live. I was like, oh, like Donnell. You go, you know, you got. So I got a couple books and stuff. I'm like, huh? Yeah, I ain't giving this back.
Huh? You on the TV told that you stole that?
Post that. Yeah, we posted it. But yeah, I took it. Yeah. Yep. That's Donnell, bro. That's not going anywhere. I heard it just dropped too. Oh man, I'm taking that, bro. Yeah, you ain't getting that back. And I got billed hard too.
Let's go to the Triller. Triller has been killing it lately with these celebrity boxing events. Apparently,
hey, I'll be the first one to say I'll whoop Jake Paul ass.
Hey, yo, that boy's scaring me right now.
Put the camera on me,
punch, man.
That boy's scaring me right now.
Yeah, Jake Paul, punch, man. I will whoop your ass straight up. Yo. Cut the check. We can do that for real.
Both them Paul brothers are scaring me right now. Yeah, it's getting scary out here.
Yeah, they putting them down, man.
Yo, and apparently it was one of the highest selling boxing events of all time.
All time.
What?
Because they good at promotion.
The promoting is insane. And like with the celebrities coming in, doing the commentary with Snoop, doing the scariest man I've ever seen in my life. Southpaw movie right there. Boom. And
that makes one of us.
What's the name supposed to be fighting him now, right?
Floyd fighting his brother Logan, yeah.
They're some bad dudes. So,
and worst case scenario, Logan Paul, I will whoop your ass.
You just start instigating stuff when you're trying to get paid. Get paid
again? You're right, I'm trying to get paid.
I will whoop your motherfucking ass, Logan.
Let me get paid again. Let me go back. I'll take half to Nate Robinson myself.
Listen.
I'll take half.
Listen, bro.
This is the evolution of sports entertainment. I'm just letting you know WWE did this joint first. With WrestleMania's.
Bars.
But Triller right now is killing the game right now. How do you feel about seeing these celebrities selling out boxing rather than actual boxers?
I mean, it's amazing, man, what social media has done for a lot of people. I mean,
we talked about it with artists earlier, and it's
amazing what you could do for yourself by promoting and by, you know, just being you. You know, if you can sell yourself, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is what you can become.
It's
you know,
insane.
And he's a celebrity now. He's a superstar. He's no different than anybody else that's out there right now that's been doing it for years.
He's literally not doing anything else that nobody can't do.
He's selling himself. You know what I'm saying? So, man, if he can do it, anybody can. You know what I'm saying?
Seriously.
So I can appreciate what they're doing. It's amazing. And I can't wait to see somebody knock his ass out.
You know what? They're building this, brother. Like, okay, so Jamal, as a boxing fan, Jamal! So, as a boxing fan, does this hurt like the art of boxing? Because you grew up like you got.
Yeah, I think it does.
You think so?
No. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
But
fighting people that ain't fighters.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's the point.
No. We got
one second. What are you saying? No. That's a real fighter.
No.
Except for Floyd. Floyd gonna beat the shit out of him.
That is actually true.
They don't beat the shit out of him. Paul's knocking out NBA players and NFL players.
But that's the point.
He ain't gonna knock out this
That is actually right. Here's the point, though. You ever see, like, every single boxing event, you see somebody, this guy, 25-0, 18 knockouts. Who have they beaten? Nobody. No. Boxing pads, They pad records all the time. Yeah. In this case, Logan Paul, Jake Paul, they're doing the same thing off of celebrities'
off
names.
Of names.
And to me,
but that's not real boxing. They're boxing celebrities.
Okay,
they're not boxing real fighters.
What boxing purist? Hold on. What boxing purist really bought that Triller pay per view? You know, say like, oh man, an MMA fighter with no hands. Versus a celebrity who's had two fights.
Who really bought that show like, man, this is going to be an incredible boxing match? Nobody. Nobody. They're going to see somebody get knocked the fuck out. Right. You're paying for the circus.
Right.
And so to me, that like that's helping boxing.
But that's Robot Wars, man. Like,
I would say it's helping boxing.
No.
We talking about It's just
what money fights are there, right?
It's bullshit, man. Like I'm talking about.
For the first time in a long time, all the money fights in boxing are in the heavyweight category.
Yeah.
But that's like three
people. For the first time, for the first time since Tyson and Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, the big money's actually in the heavyweight.
That's real.
It went to Floyd all of years. Floyd was the thing.
Yeah, but that's like three people, though.
So you think that that shit is helping boxing?
I don't think it's helping boxing.
I wouldn't say it's helping boxing.
No, no, no. It's okay.
All right, okay. It's the all right, the success and the art.
He got hype. He been quiet the whole time. He's like,
hey, Jamal.
Pay Triller subscription right there is what I'm hearing.
I have interests in Triller. That's all I'll say. Bottom line is this, though.
This has to succeed, basically, what you're saying.
It really does. You are buying a circus. You are buying
an overall. Triller. We was just on Triller. Zab Judah did a celebrity joint. We sat ringside in his joint.
Mm-hmm. Zab Judah, please box Jake Paul.
Within
an inch of his life.
Yeah, he'll beat shit out of Jake Paul.
Zab Judah, come on the Swerve City podcast.
Like, it's too big for him. It's watering down boxing.
Thanks.
Wait. Watering down boxing? Boxing has like 2,200 titles.
Just like
that. How do you mean?
Boxing
been watered down.
Well, boxing has been watered down.
What you talking about? I'm like, no.
Man, the day I see Ray Shrummer going out there shooting jump shots with Steph Curry, then we can talk. Till then, I'm going to keep watching Triller.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, yeah, like, you have the NBA celebrity games. You have celebrities go to the wrestling room. Like, you have all these...
Wrestling?
All these... Hold on.
Wrestling is a little different.
Wrestling's very different.
Sure. Bad Bunny did his thing.
Wrestling is very different. But in boxing...
Hold on.
But in boxing, they pretend it's real because we all know the scorecards are choreographed as well. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, look at literally any Tyson Fury fight in the last couple years. I mean...
You said Tyson Fury was on some bullshit?
No, Tyson Fury should have never had that draw.
Oh, okay, I'm going to say.
No, he completely outboxed Deontay Wilder.
I thought you were trying to say he was bullshit.
No.
Tyson Fury is the best in the heavyweight division.
He beat the Sam Hell out of Deontay Wilder both fights. It's just the first fight. First fight, he got knocked down twice, so they were like, draw. He was like, was it a draw?
More exciting and all of that, so that's why they
this is good. I love sports, bro. Sports will do it, bro.
Deontay Wilder is the big puncher.
Punch.
Oh.
To this day, he's the big puncher. To this day.
So half the room is for Triller. The other half is not.
I'm with it, man. I'm trying to get a bag. I'm with it too.
But I think that they're watering down boxing with them bullshit ass
matches.
You want no coin in Triller.
Yeah,
he got some stocks in Triller. Mike said, you talking about my stocks? Mike, you talking about my stocks? Hey, man. How about this? One quick thing. Since you got stocks in there, man, get my dog on Triller. Let the leather before.
Let me know, man.
Yeah,
I need to put some money in there. You know what I'm saying?
That's the bare minimum. Jesus.
We might do that.
All right. We got one last thing to cover. All right. We got to go into a trick trap right now. This is the last question we're going to go. Yep, we got five. Here we go. Alright, Chit Trap, here we are, boom. So, usually we have Cy come up with these questions, but he's been a little slow lately. So I came up with one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man down.
Did you have one?
Someone called an ambulance.
Exactly.
No one asked.
You know.
Anyway.
It's like, we got Daniel Jones for the podcast. Oh, should I bring the camera? Yeah! Like, God. 45 episodes! 45 episodes! 45 episodes, my God!
All
right. He hit you with that one.
I love this show, man. I love this show.
Lord, okay. All right. Are you a big movie watcher? Yeah, you say you've been staying away from TVs, but like, okay.
But I love movies, though.
Movies?
Yeah, love movies, man.
Movies. All right, so we came up with one together. We was like, movies. So, Chit Trap, little fun question. Yeah, feel free for anybody to answer, really, their own. We got one for you. Movies that you've anticipated to be great but ended up disappointing.
I will gladly go first.
Whoa, hey. Yes.
I have one on
this. Nah, let me go first. Let me think. I got
to
think.
I'm assuming he had to think.
Okay.
The Little Things, the movie that came out this past year with Denzel Washington and Jared Leto, I thought that movie was going to be incredible.
Nope.
I thought that movie was going to be incredible with the cast that they had, and they had Denzel playing a cop that had a dirty past. I thought this was going to be fantastic. That joint was...
I do not trust Jared Leto. About it.
You know what I thought was going to be better than I thought it was?
What's that, King?
Coming to America, man.
I thought
it was going to be better.
The second one?
Yeah, I thought the second one was better. And I was a little disappointed. Listen. I mean, I love all the cameos and it was dope.
The cast was great.
But I thought the storyline could have been better.
They shot that in a warehouse, man. let's put the matches in there. Make it look rich. Have the Murphy come in.
CGI elephants.
Yo.
CGI elephants.
Man. Oh my God.
I can't lie though. Tracy Morgan and
Leslie Jones. They were some outdated jokes.
You tripping. Both of them was funny. The rest of the movie I can't go for, but Tracy Morgan and Leslie Jones.
Listen, bro. If you want to make Ghetto Harlem Nights, you might as well just have made the second one.
As soon as the son got the mic and started rapping, I was done. I'm like, please stop. That's my killer for me. Like when people start rapping in movies, I hate it.
Oh, you know that's typical. That every show they got to be a rapper in there.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Yeah. Go ahead and tell the world it was Mortal Kombat yesterday. Go ahead and say it.
Mortal Kombat.
It's funny because I've heard people that are Mortal Kombat heads be like, I love the movie.
Trash, Garbito, Garbage. No, it's not.
And they were wrestlers, weren't they? We have horrible taste in movies. Wrestlers have horrible taste in movies.
It was. Shout out Stefan, the wrestling ref from NXT.
Of course it was.
Liu Kang looked like he 2 seconds was singing, why? Tell him that it's human nature. He had 2 seconds. He was so soft. Do you want me to? That's not good enough. Right, you're not a warrior. You're not gonna win.
Movie I've seen recently. Oh, Wonder Woman 84. Mm-hmm. But I can beat that drum over and over again. I told Charlotte the Player that the same thing. What was one before that?
What was the big box office? The last couple box office heavy hitters that came. Everything got delayed, so.
Yeah. I can tell you my favorite movie of all time.
What's that?
Shawshank Redemption.
Great movie.
I can watch that shit over and over again. Over and over again. Man, that was a good ass fucking movie.
Every time that movie come on, I watch all 3 hours of it.
Yeah, man. I can watch that shit over and over again.
Yeah.
My favorite movie of all time is also set in the jail. It's a completely different movie, though, and that is Life.
That's another good one, bro. What's up with these jail movies and shit, man?
That was the one prison movie that looked fun to actually be in prison. They play baseball. They get cornbread. Oh my God! They have bunk stories. Boom boom boom. This is a fun movie.
Ray.
Let's go to jail.
Nobody want to hear that about that boom boom boom, man.
Let's go to jail in the 1940s as black people. This looks like a good time in the South.
In Mississippi. Oh,
they're having a blast. They're having a blast. Bernie Mac's there. Right. This is great. That like a good fun time.
Yeah, that movie was hilarious.
That was a good movie, too, man.
I still
can't
think of the movie. Favorite, though?
Favorite movie of all time, bro?
For me, it's Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Fight Club's my favorite.
Fight Club. Mm.
Mental.
But you broke rule number one just now.
What you talking about, Willis?
You talking about Fight
Club? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who you are. Get out of my house. I don't know you.
Oh, man. That's...
What you got, Jamal?
Yeah, come back to me, man. Come back.
Y'all gonna laugh, but my favorite movie of all
Mahogany? Wow. That's a great movie, but I didn't
watch that movie over.
I've never heard someone say that, but that's a really good movie.
That Imitation of Life.
Okay.
What about you, Malik?
I never thought I'd hear Mahogany come from that side of the room.
Bustin' Loose with Cicely Tyson and Richard Pryor.
Bustin' Loose.
Wow. Bustin' Loose.
Really?
Willie Mangan?
Yeah.
That's my movie. Shawshank Redemption?
Low key. Alright, I'm gonna break it down, man. I'm be real. The Toy by Richard Pryor, bro. That was my
favorite. Favorite though.
That was
yeah,
so crazy.
Yeah.
I still got that on VCR team.
I watched that a lot.
But your favorite though?
Yeah. I watched that movie all the time.
I can watch it, but I don't know if it'll be my favorite.
Favorite, right.
It's great. It's a great
one. It's wonderful.
I want my clothes. I'm not kidding.
It's a good one. It's great.
I love that movie, man.
That's a good one though.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
What's your favorite new movie you've seen recently?
Ooh. My favorite new movie, man.
Yeah, recently.
I could tell you what my favorite trash movie
was. You know what?
Recently. This was trash.
What's that?
The one with Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis.
Oh, Glass?
Glass. That was
poo poo.
Oh, yeah.
Poo
poo. Weak.
Poo a la poo.
I never heard that either.
I guess it was
you
trash.
Said, yeah, you said I know it was bad. You said that. And I said, Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis made a movie again?
Yeah.
Split was good. Split was good. And then this Glass.
Glass was. Glass was. I didn't finish it. I couldn't do it.
Don't finish it. You'd be mad. You'd be mad. You'd walk out. Actually, you asked for your money back. And you bought it on tape.
He doesn't have like a
suit. Dang, I'm trying to think of like a movie I really wanted to see that just disappointed me.
Glass was trash.
Glass was trash.
Yeah, it was trash.
I'm trying to think. When was the last time I was in a movie theater? Who'd be told?
Shit, it had to be over
the
year.
One by me just opened up, so we back in business.
Yeah.
I was going to do more movie theaters 2 years.
I was going to give Mortal Kombat my money, but...
No, that's why I'm so glad I'm... this is the time to plug HBO Max. Thank you for the free entertainment in my living room.
But I'm still upset about Wonder Woman 84. Y'all, I want my money back.
$30!
You watch Godzilla
vs. Kong? With Wonder Woman?
I watched that yesterday with my son.
Looking at Wonder Woman was nice, though.
She barely wore the uniform. She barely was Wonder Woman.
Oh, I know what I'm tired of watching now. I don't want to watch no more Fast and Furious. They just
But they're going to space though. They're going to space.
Oh, you love when that Mazda go 3.5 seconds in 5 seconds, huh?
Look. I love when they go 150 miles per hour and they just get out and jump out the car. That's the most hilarious thing.
No, best one ever was when they drove out the building that was falling down.
Yeah.
And the building next to it was also falling down, and they managed to fly out the building into the next building that's also falling down and then ride it out so that they can make it out safely.
I love how Vin Diesel was strong enough to, in the car, was light enough for him to deadlift it up and get under it. But also light enough to fly between all these buildings. I'm like, okay, we're just dispensing weight here.
Yeah, that's some other shit.
Off the bridge, he just jumped off the car, grabbed her, and swung it around.
His cousin is Kwame. First cousin is Kwame.
The rapper Kwame?
And he's in Kwame's video. Who? Some of Kwame's old videos.
Polka Dot Kwame?
Yep.
Word?
First cousin.
Oh, I gotta see that.
I ain't know that one.
Okay. Who's in it?
Damn, I ain't know that.
Vin Diesel.
Man. Pull up some of his old videos. Vin Diesel's in.
I'm going to watch that. Videos. I got to see that. Wow.
Well, we got some Easter eggs to hunt for, so we're going to have to close this up. We just had the legend. I said it in the beginning. I'm going to say it again. The legend, R&B legend, songwriter.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
Freaking.
Thanks for having me, man.
Jones clowning
with us. This wasn't even like this was a conversation, man. This was like, I enjoyed this, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate my brothers. And, man, I'd love to come back, man, whenever y'all have me, man. For real.
When you come back, man, we gonna put you with another WWE superstar in that chair. He was supposed to have Almost. He couldn't make it.
How the hell is Jordan going to fit in here?
We would have figured that when we got here. Don't worry. We managed here.
All right, look at me.
Yeah, you 6'5".
You can't see my head right now on camera. See, Jordan is literally, this is not a joke, he is literally 10 inches taller than me.
God, it ain't damn. Jordan, it's almost, damn it. Damn. Golly, sell the man. So we had to pretend that he played D1 basketball.
Right? I'm supposed to pretend all that didn't happen. I guess I wasn't in the league neither.
Donnell Jones here. AJ Francis, plug the show, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? WWE's Most Wanted Treasures, 10 p.m. on Sunday. You know, make sure you tune that in. This weekend, we got Undertaker. I think the next weekend is supposed to be Jerry Lawler. After that, I think it's Booker T. So we got a bunch of, you
get
know,
money,
got,
get money, bro.
You know, later in the year, you know, the season finale, I think it's supposed to be Ric Flair. So we got a lot of heat coming.
Heavy hitters,
you know,
man.
Sundays on A&E at 10 p.m. Check us out.
Man, and you know we got a plug at the end. Take it away, my brother.
So look, man, you know, make sure you go out there, man, in these streaming platforms out here, man. We artists, man. We're trying to get money, man. You know what I mean?
Trying.
The pandemic out here, man.
Trying.
You know what I'm saying? I've been rapping a long time. I'm tired. Make sure you guys go out here and get this. These beautiful projects here. Swerve City GPS, the group album for me and my brother here. Make sure you go on all digital platforms. Check that out. My solo project, Erica's Son, Montese, Erica's Son. Make sure you guys tune in. Go ahead and cop them things, man. Stream it. Do all that, man. You know, stream his wonderful catalog. Stream his wonderful catalog.
Amen.
Stream my catalog. Support everybody, man. Yes. And we all out here trying to eat and make it happen. So stream that. And thank you for that as well, because the streams have been looking great lately.
Not to mention, we still got 10 episodes that is posted on the WWE Network, Swerve City Podcast. Go check them out, man. And always subscribe to our YouTube, youtube.com/Swerve City Podcast for more content. We got some heavy hitters coming. I'm not telling you now. You just got to subscribe and check it out. So as always, be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
And do your homework.